Good morning, Anchor. I'm Alicia Vandover, like Rick was saying, and to some of you, I might be a familiar face. I've been under Rick's shepherding for 14 years now. So like you said, Micah and I, that's to Rick. And so we have been living in Hawaii for the past year and a half. Every time we've been home, we've been sure to stop by and see you guys. We just love your church here. And so a few weeks ago, I was on the phone paying a bill to a health insurance company, of all things. And as I was telling the woman on the other line, I was telling her our, you know, confirming address and our credit card number and all of that. And as I was talking with her, I was trying to just build some rapport and just get a connection going. And I could tell that her voice was not quite resounding with joy. I could tell that she had a very hurt heart. And so by the end of our conversation, she asked me, as people normally do, is there anything else that I can help you with? And I said, yes. Can you tell me your name again? And she told me her name, and I repeated it to her, and I said, how can I be praying for you today and throughout the rest of the week? And at the other line, or on the other end of the line, I heard first a gasp, and then a little bit of a sniffle, and then I heard silence. And so you can imagine me on the other line, like, ooh, what just happened? And all of a sudden, she comes back and she said in a very sober voice, do you know when you get to that point where you've been praying and you don't know what to do anymore? I'm at that point. And she just opened up and she began to tell me about the severity of her daughter's health condition and how 8 brain surgeries had left her daughter very disoriented, barely able to walk. Even as we spoke, she had a broken arm. And her daughter's son, he is 8 years old, he is having the most difficult time trying to just figure this whole thing out, what's going on with his mom. And as she spoke, she was holding back tears. And I could hear that in her voice. And just through what started as a simple paying a bill, of all things, God allowed me to partner with him to minister to her heart. I got to pray for her to have courage and strength and just peace. And it was amazing to be able to partner with him in something that we take so for granted, just paying a bill. But God wants us to invite him into even those situations. And now the woman, we're still in contact. She reads the blogs at CaptivatingLove.com, and she frequently will email me and tell me about what God is doing in her life and how the blogs speak to her as well. And so what are Micah and I here today for? We are here to speak to you about something that we are just passionate about. We love evangelism, and we love Jesus. And so we are here because we want to tell you simple strategies, basic ideas and concepts, and what you can be equipped to go out and evangelize, to share the good news. Micah and I have been blessed with the opportunities to speak at different churches, different high school groups, college groups, different schools on the topic of evangelism, and we are very excited to share with you now. And so, why do we evangelize? Imagine with me, if you will, 100 million years from now. What will be important? I'm sure that the people who just won the next World Series, that probably won't be that important. The clothes that we wear, the house that you bought, were foreclosed on, or are renting in now, that won't matter either. But what will matter is your eternal destination. Now let's imagine something a little more realistic than millions of years out from now. Let's imagine when each one of us is standing before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving an account for our lives. We will each find ourselves in that position at one point. And again, what is going to be important then? It's not going to be so many of the things that we put value on now. But what will be important is the people that we sowed into their lives and what matters for eternity. It will be the people who we connected with and shared the gospel. The gospel is the Greek word that means the good news. What will matter are who and how many people we shared the good news of Jesus Christ coming and laying down his life as a sacrifice to forgive us of our sins that we have through repentance. Today alone, 146,000 people are going to die. There is a great need to tell people about Jesus Christ and the good news of salvation. And we are so excited to speak to you about that today. Now, evangelism, we can all give a hearty amen to, yes, we want to seize God's calling for our lives, we want to walk right into whatever he has for us, but when it comes to evangelism, sometimes it's a little bit more scary. it's hard to put that into practice. And by no means do I stand before you today and think that I am the perfect evangelist. I walk by opportunities frequently, even when I know that God has told me, go speak with her. Sometimes I still shy away in timidity and walk by the opportunity. I don't even think that I have the gift of evangelism, to be quite honest with you, like I believe that my husband does. But I do know that Jesus has said that the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few in Luke 10:2. And I do know that Jesus has commanded, not requested, not suggested, that we go and preach the gospel in Mark 16:15. And I know that he also says, follow me and you will be fishers of men in Mark 1:17. And I know that in the heart and the very just fears that I have and my insecurities and the heat of all of that, he has spoken to me exactly what he spoke to Paul in a vision found in Acts 18:2 that says, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. And so on one particular afternoon, Micah had just preached to one of the Oahu's biggest churches' college groups. And so we were leaving just fully elated. We were so excited. And as we were walking out to head back to the car, we walked by this group of four teenagers, and they were as cool as can be. You know, the ones where, you know, they have the hips cocked out to the side, and you knew that they were cool, and they knew that they were cool. And I was instantly intimidated by them because I knew that God had something to say to them. And so I grabbed my Bible, and as we were walking out to the car, this is how the evangelism went. Hi. And then just kept going. And then I immediately started justifying, God, I said such a nice hi. I was carrying my Bible. Of course, they can make the connection that I'm nice and I have a Bible. I'm a Christian. You can say them too. And as I was justifying that, I realized, no, of course not. Romans 10:14-15 reminds us that for people to know about God, we have to use our voices and tell them about him. So there are plenty of nice atheists out there. I have never had someone come up to me and say, Alicia, you are just so nice that I want to lay down my life and serve your Jesus. So of course, being nice and righteousness, that should be evidence of our walk with God, but it shouldn't be the main strategy that we are relying on to lead people to the Lord. So as we are walking back to the car, I know, oh, God has called me to go talk to them, so I'm praying for them now. And we get back to the car, and that's when God spoke to me and said exactly what he told Paul in Acts 18:2, do not be afraid, but speak, do not keep silent. And so Micah, of course, felt the same. We needed to go back and talk to these four high schoolers. And we just so happened to have four different mini Bibles in our trunk, so we grabbed a hold of those, and we started walking back to them, and in my mind, I was not in a peaceful, secure place. I was still saying, God, you need to show up right now. I don't know what to say. God, what, my feet are going. My mind is way back there. What's going on? Like, you need to show up. And so finally, we arrived at their little closely knit circle, and our amazing, profound, life-changing evangelism conversation began like, hi. And then followed by a very nervous, I'm Alicia. But then we started to compliment them on their clothes. We started to build a little bit rapport and just make them comfortable. And then that's when we kind of moved into the truth. We told them, we are here. We walked back, even though we did walk by you, because God told us to come back and share with you. And if we were to walk on, we would be disobedient. Instant conversation. So then we were talking about God, and we were having this amazing conversation with them. By the end of it, I got to individually minister to the three girls and pray with them. Micah got to individually minister to the young man and pray with him. And by the end of our conversation, they were giving us hugs, high fives. They were so thankful that we came back. And they said something that really struck a chord with me. As we were walking away, they said, thank you for coming back, because no one has ever told us about Jesus before. The world is craving to hear about God. They need to hear about salvation. And through partnering with God in evangelism, there are few things that come even slightly close in comparison to touching your life so deeply, as well as the potential to touch others' lives so deeply. Through partnering with God in evangelism, Micah and I have been able to see the absolute miraculous. We have seen people literally walking with it in mind that they are committing adultery and have them turn around and walk back in the other direction. We have seen people just lay down their agendas and with us commit their lives to the Lord. We have seen people, multiple people, change their minds about committing suicide. We both have had our sleeves just absolutely soaked by tears of repentance and thanksgiving. We have had people whom we ministered to once, months ago, all of a sudden approach us out of the blue and say, "Hey, do you remember me?" No, but yes, of course. And they tell us, what you said or the prayer that you led us in, we're so thankful. This is what God's doing in our life. We've had a waitress who we once wrote on the back of a receipt. We wrote a little note about how much God loves her. And it's now pinned up by her bed. She recognized us 3 months after we first wrote it. And she told us, "I still have it pinned up by my bedside." So walking with God in evangelism, that is embarking on one of the most exciting adventures that you can ever get on. It has eternal rewards, and we are so excited to share with you about different basic truths and just these strategies and tools that you can use. So Mike is going to come up. He's going to share with you the ins and outs of evangelism that he has learned. He teaches on evangelism, preaches on evangelism. He also spearheaded our church in Hawaii's ministry in evangelism, leading people out every single week. He purposes to go out every day, but sometimes it ends up being every other day. But through some bloopers and also some glorious testimonies, we're going to hear from him now. So thank you for partnering with us as we make evangelism our lifestyle, and we look forward to taking fresh steps of faith with you too. Thank you.
How do you follow that? I'm not quite sure, but God said, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord." Woo! That is my favor right there. Wow. I see you guys. Anybody nervous? No, just me? Come on. I see a bunch of evangelists out there. Now, you know what it means to be an evangelist? Just somebody who shares the good news. And thank you for this mic. I appreciate it. Most of the times when I speak, they put me on a leash because I tend to walk around a little bit. I got ADD, so that's going to be okay with you guys. We're going to have some fun today. Is that okay? So first of all, I'd like to start off with something very spiritual. Everybody stand up. Stand up with me. Now once everybody is standing, everybody just take a deep breath with me. Good to just take a deep breath with God. Take another one. We're going to have some fun today. Is that okay? So I'd like to start off with this. It's an evangelism welcome, okay? You're going to turn to three people, and you're just going to give them a high five, and you're going to tell them that you're glad that they're here today, okay? Go. Go. Right now. I'm glad you're here today. I am glad you're here today. I am glad you're here today. You may be seated. And I'm glad that you're here today. God told me today he's in a good mood, and it's okay if you guys smile. So go ahead and try it out. Okay, you're looking good. So I appreciate the intro from my lovely wife, but let me just tell you a story, because it doesn't always work out great, and I've been evangelizing. I come from a family of educators, and I decided a little bit different education. Mine was trial and error. So I have a lot of error, and I'd like to share one of those stories with you, so maybe you don't make the same mistakes that I made. Now, Proverbs 11:30, if anyone knows it, you can quote it with me. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." You guys can be soul winners today. I'll equip you with a few things of what to do, and I'll start with what not to do. So I'm in Waikiki, and I'm going out evangelizing, and I talked to a few of my friends into going with me. And this night, it's not going so well. It starts raining. And it's not very cold in Hawaii, but there's like two nights in the whole year that it gets cold. And this was one of them. And I'm in a t-shirt and it starts rain. So all my friends, what do? They're out of here. Forget the evangelism tonight, pal. We'll see you another day. So I'm standing there on the corner and I'm just hoping, God, would you just send one person? I just want to talk to one person today. Just one person. I'm sitting there and my arms are like this and I'm kind of shivering, you know. And I see this man way a long way. And he's a very tall man, so I could see him. And I see him, and he's walking kind of funny. He's got one of these, like, one of those walks. And so I'm like, I'm staring at this guy, and I'm like, is this guy's leg messed up? And then about 20 yards before he gets to me, he switches legs. So now he's doing the limp with the other. And I'm like, man, what's... And I'm staring at this guy, and I notice he's staring at me. And he doesn't have a nice look on his face, but I just keep staring at him. And then when he gets close, I just step out in front, and I said, because I'm freezing, hey, if you die today, are you sure you would go to heaven? And you know what this man says? He looks right at me and he says, man, are you a cop? I already knew this wasn't going good. And I said, no, I'm a man who's concerned about your eternal salvation. Are you sure you're going to go to heaven? He's like, man, you can't be talking to me like that. You don't know me. It's like, oh, this is really not going good, God. Now what do I do? I said, well, you know, I'm out here trying to evangelize, spreading the good news. And he said, man, you look like you're mad. Are you mad? I said, no, I'm not mad. He said, why you got your arms like this? I said, I'm freezing, man. I'm standing out here in the rain. He said, you cannot have your arms like this and try to approach somebody on the street. You don't look like you're happy. And I said, oh, man, I'm sorry, okay? And he said, plus, you're blocking my runway. If I need to run out of here... Well, I noticed you guys got a blue rag around his head. He had another blue rag here, so I don't know what that means, but maybe something not good. And he said, you can't be standing there like that. If I need to run out of here, you're blocking my way. I said, oh, man, I'm really sorry about that. Okay, how about I come up like this, and I put my hands in my pocket, and I said, how about now? Now? Can you answer my question? He said, man, that's even worse. You can't put your hands in your pocket. You might be packing a pistol. I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. So I put my hands out, and he's like, forget about me, man. You already blew it. I totally blew it with that guy. But he gave me so much encouragement. As I was walking home, I started thinking about that. And I'm in the rain, I'm wet, and I'm bummed. And about halfway home, I was like, wow, I just got the lesson on body language. Okay? Body language says a lot, doesn't it? Just the way you approach somebody. Now when I approach people, especially somebody with a blue bandana wrapped around their head and one hanging out of their pocket, I have my hands out. I'm never crossed up like this. And I even try something that's super fun. I smile. It just takes the pressure off people, just like that. You guys can try it out today. I can see you're getting excited right now. Somebody's going to be an evangelist in here. So you have your notes? Studies have shown that if you take notes while I'm preaching, you are highly more likely to go to heaven. So we're going to talk about a few things. What do you think holds you back from evangelizing? I talk to so many people. There's only about 10% of Christians who are totally Christians that share their faith. Everyone in here is Christian. Probably only 10% of you share your faith on a regular basis. Has anyone ever shared their faith in here? Just shared your faith with one person? Oh, we can work with this. This is looking good. So let's talk about a few approaches. How to. First, you have the conversation approach. Second, you have the survey approach. Third, you have the direction approach. By no means is this the end-all, be-all. You don't have to always use these. You don't even have to ever use these. These are just things I use and suggestions that I'm making to you to get started. So first, we'll break down the conversation approach. As you saw what I did with the man, the gangster man, it didn't work out very well. So I came up with some things that will work well. And first, you want to make a connection. So in the conversation approach, you want to make a connection. And how I usually like to start that, just like Alicia said, hi. See if they say hi back. If somebody says hi back, hey, they're receptive to a conversation. If they don't say hi back, don't worry, there's plenty more sinners for you to practice on. Just keep walking and find another one. So if they say hi, then you might want to build some rapport. If you're talking to somebody by the beach, this is a great thing to do. You're walking up, hey, how's it going? Man, those waves are amazing. Yeah, did you go out there and surf today? And then I try to get people talking about themselves. So are you a surfer? Wow, tell me about the biggest wave you've ever surfed. What is everyone's number one subject that they love to talk about? Themselves. You ever see somebody with a golf shirt on? Oh, the golfers love to talk about themselves. I don't know anything about golf, but I was like, hey, tell me about your best shot. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I was right in between these trees, and I went whack, and it went wham. And I was like, wow, tell me another shot. You get people talking about themselves. People have tattoos. This is great. People in California love to tattoo, especially even their faces, their necks. And you will just walk up to them. Wow, that's an amazing tattoo. What does that mean? What provoked you to put a tattoo on your face? That is so interesting. I've had some great conversations just opening it up like that. So first, you're making a connection. You can even talk about sports. You can talk about the weather. I don't know if you want to talk about the Chargers. That might be something bad. You already started off on a bad foot just like the gangster. Don't do that, actually. Just talk about the weather. Talk about anything that you can just build a little rapport. Whatever's interesting to them, you want to make it interesting to you. You can be a soul winner. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. God wants you guys to be wise today. You can leave here purposing to walk with God. You start embracing evangelism, not as something you're going to do every now and again, after Rick preaches every Sunday. No, you want to embrace it as a lifestyle. Then it starts making life fun. Starts making life exciting. You can even walk down the road and you're just having fun. I can't wait for the next person that I sit next to on the plane. I can't wait for the next person that I'm walking down the road. I cannot wait till the next time I go to work and I sit next to a coworker. What does God want to do? So first you made your connection. Then I'm looking to make a transition. Okay, so I've made my connection with them by saying hi, building some rapport. We find some common ground, get them talking about themselves. And now I'm looking to make a transition. And what I'm transitioning from is the natural to the spiritual. So I'm just looking for things. I might throw some things out there like, if they ask me a question, how's my day been going? Oh, great. You know, I just came from church. Pastor Rick had a phenomenal message on surrender. And I've been really thinking about surrender and where I need to surrender in my life. Have you ever thought about anything like that? Boom. I just went from the natural. Now we're talking about something spiritual. Also, I use this all the time. Hey, could I ask you an interesting question? When you ask somebody that, it just piques their curiosity. Everyone wants to be asked an interesting question. So, hey, could I ask you an interesting question? They say, sure. If you died today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Now, I like to warm up before I ask that question. As you saw, it didn't work out with the gangster, and it didn't work out with my hands in my pocket. Didn't work out with my hands crossed. But after you build a little rapport, people trust you, they'll answer that question. And you wouldn't believe the answers that you get. Even people who have been Christians all their lives don't know for sure that they'll go to heaven. That's crazy. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. No, it doesn't say that. What's it say? You will be saved. If you put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ and him alone, you are guaranteed that you're going to go to heaven. People don't know that. People need to know that. Finally, I like to leave them with a new direction. So we have a connection. We have a transition from the natural to the spiritual. And then I leave them with a new direction. If they say they don't know the Lord, I'll share the gospel with them. I start with John 3:16 and I keep it very simple. And I answer any questions that they have. I always try to leave praying for people. That deposits something with them. People need to hear you pray for them. It doesn't have to be a profound prayer, just a simple prayer. Just a simple prayer. Put your hand on their shoulder or just stand there and just say a simple prayer for them. Them hearing you engage God, it's a great way to plant a seed. So what are they? Those note takers that are guaranteed to go to heaven, what are they? Three approaches. Conversation. Connection, transition, and new direction. Connection, just saying hi. Transition from the natural to the spiritual. You can do this in any conversation. And then finally, the new direction. You want to leave them with something. You want to leave them with a prayer. You want to invite them to church. You want to encourage them. Share a scripture with them. I always have a scripture just in my mind when I'm walking around the block. Always. Second thing we'll talk about, the survey approach. Now, the survey approach is when I really can't think of anything to say and my connection's not going very well, or maybe I just want to walk up to somebody and get right to it. hey, how you doing? We're working on a little project today and asking the question out here, if you were to die today, are you assured you'd go to heaven? Boom, you're having a great conversation. I just went straight in with the transition. And from that survey, it just breaks it down. And I've had people tell me at the end of a great conversation, they've asked, so did you just ask me that question so we could have this conversation? Yeah. And they said, well, that was pretty good. And I said, well, and I also use it in my talks. You know, I'm always looking for information, so I'm always asking people these questions. So the survey approach, another one that we've used is, we're talking to people in the area about prayer. Is prayer important to you? Hey, how you doing? Hey, working on a little project today. Just asking the question, is prayer important to you? Oh yeah, how often do you pray? Who do you pray to? You find some crazy answers. Really, how's that working for you? Have you ever heard from God? Most people have never heard from God, especially if they don't have any church background, whatever. I'm talking about people who are non-Christians. They've never heard from God. They're talking to Buddha. They're talking to Muhammad. They're talking to people who are still in the grave and cannot speak to them. We're talking to Jesus Christ, who is alive. And we've got to go spread the good news. This is the most exciting thing that you guys can possibly do. So the survey approach. Now I like to use the direction approach. Now this is when I'm shopping at Walmart. This is when I'm pulling up at the gas station. This is when you just want to have some fun. And I just walk up. Hey, you know, I'm not from around here. I was wondering, could you help me out with some directions? Where would you like to go? To heaven. Now you just wait till you see their faces. Now this is amazing. You can do this in the school. You can do this anywhere. Hey, I need some directions. So the other day I'm walking down and I'm in Waikiki and I'm just walking down. My conversations weren't going that well. So I'm like, I'm going to ask somebody for some directions. And I see this security guard and he had the look. You know this one? I'm like, he must be cold and wet. So I'm just going to walk up to him and ask him for some directions. I said, sir, excuse me, I'm looking for some directions. He said, where do you need to go? I said, straight to heaven. You should have seen his face. He said, what? He couldn't even compute it. He couldn't understand what I just said. He said, I want to go straight to heaven. I said, do you know how to get there? He said, no, I don't. So would you like to know? He said, I would. Well, amen, brother. And I got to share the gospel with him and pray for him right there on the street. Invite him to church. Just like that. So you're walking down Walmart. Anyone who has a blue vest on, these people are very helpful. They work there. And you just ask them, excuse me, I need some directions. What would you like to find? I'd like to find my way directly to heaven. What? You just watch their faces. It's so fun. You got to try it out today. Pull up to that gas station and just tell somebody, hey, I need some directions. Now, you guys are getting ready to have some fun. I was walking in Waikiki. We're at the gas station. I see these about five guys, and they had the big jacked up trucks, and they were sitting there, and they had tank tops on and their hats backwards. I was like, these guys look tough. Oh, man, they need to give me some directions. So, and I actually got a little bit nervous. I chickened out for a minute. I debated with God, and then I said, all right, I'm going in. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit, please, Lord, and don't let me get killed. These guys look mean. And I walked right up to them. I said, hey, guys. I kept smiling. None of them were smiling back. So I didn't know what to do. I just kept smiling at him. I said, I need some directions. One guy out of all of them looked right at me and he said, where do you need to go? I told him. He looked at me and he's like, oh, I haven't been to church for a long time. And he just starts confessing things. The other four guys, they just disappeared. I think they thought I was crazy, like I had something packing in my pocket. But I wasn't. And next thing you know, I'm having a great conversation with this man. And he tells me he hasn't been to church for 10 years, walked away from the Lord. And I just got to pray for that brother. And I had a Bible in my back, in my trunk. So I got my Bible and I gave it to him. It's an extra Bible. I never give away my only Bible. But I gave him my extra Bible. I don't love people that much. I love them a lot. I love God more. That's my Bible. So, but I gave him the extra Bible. And he, you wouldn't believe, this man who was so tough 5 minutes ago, looked at me with a tear in his eye and just said, thank you. Just that easy. You don't know when your next breakthrough conversation is. Just one conversation away from changing somebody's life. Changing somebody's eternal destiny. Now, when I'm walking with God, I like to ask three questions. So you guys are doing good. I can see you taking notes. You're spilling out some ink on that page. It's looking good. And now we're going to put it into practice soon, too. And here is three questions that I ask God everywhere I'm going. God, what do you want me to know? I take this from Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Every day, God wants you to call to him. He wants to show you something great and mighty that you do not know. Now, this is fun. God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Just like that. Every step I take, God, I'm just walking around the block and I'm purposing to engage God. I'm not just taking a stroll on my own. I'm walking with God. And this is how I get engaged. I get plugged in. He's the true vine, right? So if he's the true vine, John 15:5 says, he's the true vine and we're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we're not plugged in, we're just a branch on its own. That's a dead branch. So as I'm walking with God, and I'm asking him these questions, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And I'm just looking. People. Do I see any people around me? God, what do you want me to know about that person? God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to walk over there? Do you want me to say something? I'm available. When I ask these three questions, it just helps me surrender to another level. So the other day, I'm walking down Waikiki, and President Obama was actually in town. I was hoping to witness to him, but I didn't get a chance. And he's actually from Hawaii, so, or at least somebody said he was. I don't know if it can be proven. But I'm sorry about that. But anyway, he was in town. I was really hoping to talk to him. And he had all these people with him. You know, he had hundreds of people. And you could tell because no one wears a tie in Hawaii. No one, ever. Well, all these people have ties and suits on. I'm like, you guys are sweating it out, boy. Working for the president, that's not easy. Okay. So I'm looking for some people to talk to. And I'm walking down the road. I see the guy in the tie. I was like, oh, I'm going in. And so I walk up next to him. I have board shorts on and a t-shirt. He probably thought I was just another surfing bum, which I am. So I walked right up to him. I said, hey, how's it going? We built a little rapport. We start talking. I get him talking about himself. He's actually an advisor to the president. It's like, wow, you got some work cut out for you, man. Holy cow. Wow. Things are already off to a bad start. So I was like, he needs some advice, so I'm glad he's got some people around. But then after I found out this man's beliefs, oh, I wish he wasn't advising anybody. Now, the conversation with him didn't go too well. And at the end, I just said, hey, all the truth's right there in the Bible. It's there for you. It's there for you. He looks at me and he's like, have a nice day. I was like, I will. Keep advising, but not the president. Come on. So I turn around and I was like, boy, that conversation didn't go very well. And while I was walking with this man, I saw a guy all in black with a big ponytail, and he looked like a madman. And as I was talking with the guy with the tie on, I was like, I wish I got to talk to that guy because this conversation's not going good. I'm walking back, and I'm hoping I can find this guy. And there enough, I see him. Sure enough, right there, he's walking, and he's getting ready to go into a building. So I go running after him, and God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? God told me something a little crazy. He said, go tell that man I can heal his heart. Now, when you hear something like that, now you're having a lot of fun. Sometimes God will just speak to you. He'll give you maybe a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. He'll give you something to encourage that person that's particular to them. Now, that's amazing. Other times, you just got to strike up a conversation. This time, I know God told me to go tell him that God can heal his heart. But I look at this man, he looks a little crazy. I'm like, God, could you tell me something just a little more tough or a little more cool? Maybe not the healing the heart. I don't think this guy's going to receive that. And I heard it again. Tell him I can heal his heart. So I went running after this man. And by the time I got close to him, I said, hey! And he just kept walking. And I said, hey! A little bit louder. And this man didn't look very happy. He put his hands out like this and kept walking forward. That usually means somebody doesn't want to talk to you. And so then I remembered what I learned from the first man, the gangster. Hands out of the pocket, body language open, have a smile. So I ran around to meet him like this. So he couldn't think I was trying to sneak up on him. And I said, hey, hey, God told me to tell you he could heal your heart. And you know what this man does? He looks at me and he says, what the? And then he starts cussing. And I was like, God, this isn't going very well. I told you, I didn't want to say that. I couldn't think of anything else to say. So you know what I said? I said it again. God told me to tell you he could heal your heart. This man, you know what he said? He couldn't think of anything else to say either, so he started cussing again. And he said, what the? And then he starts jumping around. And I'm like, this man is nuts. And then he sits down on the curb. And then he puts his face in his hands. I'm like, this man is crazy. What is going on? This guy's having a meltdown right in front of me. So I sat down and I put my hand next to him. And it's like, it's okay. I don't know how to comfort another man who I don't know, but it's okay. And then he says, I might be wrong. I was like, what might you be wrong about? He said, I might be wrong about God. See, this is bleeping crazy. And I was like, what is crazy? He said, this is crazy. And then he starts crying. And I'm like, whoa, what is going on? We're having an experience now. This is like we're on a mandate or something. I don't know what's going on, but he's crying. I'm feeling like crying. I don't know what's going on. And he tells me, a few minutes later, back on the sidewalk where I first saw him, he made the commitment that this man was so mad that he was going to kill one of his friends and then take his own life. He made the commitment on the sidewalk, starts walking out into his apartment to carry out the plans, and then I came up and he says, and this is bleeping crazy. I look at him and I was like, whoa, let's pray. This man is nuts. All right, God, start praying for this man. As I'm praying for him, he breaks in my arms, just collapses, and I'm holding this grown man up, and he starts crying all over my shoulder, and he's leaning over me, and I started patting him down to make sure he didn't have a gun or anything. I was like, this guy's crazy. 5 minutes later, this guy gets it together, and he's just like, thank you. You just saved me from doing something crazy. Something insane. I can't believe I was going to do that, but I was. And now I realize I might be wrong. Check out this guy's name. It's Moses. Moses. I'm like, oh, buddy, God's got a plan for you. I'm taking you out to lunch next week. Give me your phone number. He canceled my lunch, but I'm not giving up on him. You never know. You're one conversation away from having life transformation, imparting transformation to somebody. Just like that. You got simple approaches. You got to start going. You got to start living it. If you have a job, does anyone here have a job? Wow. I was going to say, because we could have a prayer circle outside if you don't have a job. But you guys look like you have jobs. So why did God give you that job? Why do you have a job? Is it just to make money? You can't take any of it with you. None. The only thing that you can take with you is people. God cares about souls more than anything else. He cares about people. People. So you think about your job. Why do you have that job? It's called the marketplace. God wants you to mark that place as a territory where you evangelize, where you witness. The whole purpose of our life is to know God and to make him known. You didn't know you're going to get the purpose of life today, did you? We just went in deep. The purpose of life, to know God and to make him known. John 17:3 says, eternal life is this, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. To know God and to make him known. Just like that. We start thinking about eternal things. We start thinking about what we can take with us into heaven, and it's people. You start walking by and you start seeing every person as a soul. As I'm paddling in the other day back in Oahu, and I'm looking at all the people. There's so many people on the beach. And my heart just began to break for them because I saw them the way God saw them. It's like these are all souls. And God desires that none would perish, but all would come to know him. And so I started asking the question, God, what do you want me to know? He told me, I love those people. I said, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to paddle over to that man and tell him how much I love him. Not that man, God. No, not that guy does not look happy. I'm not going to talk to that guy. Okay, I'm going in. Sometimes I wrestle with God. I have the fear that holds me back, but I conquer it with faith, knowing that God has a plan for every single person to know him. And if I can partner with God in bringing them to him, that's the most important thing I could do with my day, most important thing I could do with my life. So as I'm paddling up, I'm standing in the water, and I'm kind of debating it, like, how am I going to strike up this conversation? And this man walks into the water. It's like, okay, I'll start with hi. Hi. He says hi back. Oh, he's receptive to a conversation. We had a conversation a little bit and then just moved it from the natural to the spiritual. And I didn't really know what to say in this one. And I just asked him, would you like to know the good word of the day? He said, sure. I said, it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I said, have you ever heard that before? This man looks at me and he said, I've heard it, but it's been a long time. In fact, I've been wanting to get connected to God. I was like, really? He lifts up his shirt. He said, I just had quadruple bypass, 2 valves put in, and he had a scar from his belly button all the way up to his neck. Showed me, and he told me that God just gave him another chance. And now he wanted to get connected to God. That simple conversation, I got to pray for that man and leave a deposit. Just got to plant a seed. 3 things that can happen. And this is what's so exciting about evangelizing. It's a win-win-win strategy. 3 things that can happen. 1, somebody can get saved. That's it. A win, right? 2, you could plant a seed. That's a win. 3, you could get persecuted. How is that a win? Well, you might learn something like I did from the gangster. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I'm in Japan and I'm sharing a message on evangelism and trying to fire these young kids up. They're about in high school and we're getting ready to go hit the streets and evangelize them. And I'm telling them, I'm like, guys, it's so easy. You just go out there and just be filled with the Spirit and just go get in a conversation. It's not about a presentation. It's about a conversation. You want to have a conversation with somebody. So I was just telling them, go have conversations with people. I said, watch. I see a couple walking by. I said, it's so easy. Watch this. Kind of prideful, huh? And I walked up to these couple, and I got persecuted. These people shot me down. And I kind of walked over. I was kind of embarrassed. I was like, oh, that didn't go good, huh, guys? And they said, hey, you got persecuted. You stored one up in heaven. And I looked at them. I said, you're right. If you get persecuted, you store one up in heaven. If you get persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, in Southern California, there's not a whole lot of persecution. There's not too many bad things that are going to happen to you. You share in your faith. Somebody might turn you down. They might walk away. But you just turn around, and you just look for somebody else. And you just start practicing. You get good at what you practice, right? You get good at what you practice, so you start practicing today. You're going to start walking out today, and you can try one of the 3 easy approaches. What are they? What's the first one? Conversation approach. 3 parts to it. What are they? Connection, transition, new direction. Connection, transition, new direction. What's the next approach? Survey approach. Hey, I'm working on a little project. Maybe you could help me out. Could I ask you a question? If you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? Hey, I'm working on a little project. We're talking about prayer. Is prayer important to you? Boom. You're having a spiritual conversation just like that. What's the final one? Direction. Now, this is what makes Walmart shopping exciting. So I encourage you guys to go out and share your faith. It's easy. It's fun. If we get a chance to come back, we'll get into some more technical things, like using the Ten Commandments, the law. You can do those things. There's a lot of evangelists that do. But the main part is to just get started, to get Spirit-led, to ask God to lead you. Every single conversation that you have, you can make a transition and turn it into something spiritual. You want to find out as much information about that person as you can. You want to make what's important to them important to you and just really connect with them. And look for that opportunity. Look for that opportunity to switch it from a natural to the spiritual. Your next conversation, I'm excited for you guys. I believe it's going to be an exciting one. Can I pray for you? I'll pray for all of us. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you saved us. God, I thank you that we have a surety of salvation. We're 100% sure that we're going to go to heaven and be with you forever. God, I pray that you'd give us boldness and wisdom to go out and to make you known. As we all in here, we all know you. Father, give us the boldness and the wisdom to make you known. Every conversation that we have, God, we know that the next person you put in front of us is somebody that you want us to talk to. God, the next person that sits next to us on a plane or in any seat, it's that divine appointment that you've already planned. God, we thank you. God, I pray just for an anointing over the whole congregation here, that you would give them so much faith that would conquer their fear to approach somebody. You give them the encouragement to go out. And as they ask the simple question, God, what do you want us to know? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to say? Father, I'm looking forward to just hearing about the testimonies of people going out and approaching others, seeking you on behalf of other people. Father, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.